there's anything else on your heart before we change the course of the service. If not, I always have a great interest and a desire in your prayers as we try to stand behind this pulpit and declare God's word. But I really need your prayers today. It doesn't take very much for my subject to get bigger than me. But certainly today it's a big subject. I never believe that this is a platform to be used in regards to politics or anything of that nature. It's a platform to declare God's word. And I believe we need to stand on God's word. God's word will stand when this world is on fire. Certainly, the day and time that we live in, it's very easy to become discouraged. It's very easy to look out and the things that are going on, and it's easy to become discouraged. But if I can do anything today, I want to encourage you to continue pressing on. Continue to press on towards the things that God would have for us and standing upon the truths. I believe in my heart that this great country and this nation that we live in, I've heard people say that it's no longer a country under God anymore. I still believe that is a nation and country under God. He is still the Creator and the God of heaven. And we as God's people must look to Him to answer our prayers and our supplications. I still believe that we serve a God that's able to do that. And certainly, we have to believe and know that God is able. But I guess if I had to title this subject today, we would title it Arise. And certainly, if there's ever been a time, a day and time that we live in, it is time for God's people to arise. It is time for God's people to take a stand. It's time for God's people to stand upon the truths of God and upon His Word. And certainly today, we want to try to bring some things out. As I began to think about this subject, the Lord kept taking us back to a man by the name of Gideon. And I know this morning that we are all familiar with the story of Gideon. And I made a statement yesterday that their message is simple in its context, but there is some depth to it. And this morning, it doesn't change the fact of the simplicity of it or not. But I want us to look here at what is going on and taking place in the book of Judges. And I don't claim to be a scholar this morning on this subject, but we have tried to study a little bit upon it. We find here in the beginning, the book of Judges would span approximately 450 years, according to what Paul has to say in the book of Acts in the 13th chapter. You can look at that later on. But if we go on and look here at what's taking place, we know that Joshua had been able to bring the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the promised land that God had declared unto them. And we know that after Joshua's death, there that he began to raise up judges. You can read about that in the second chapter. And these judges would be leaders or governors of the people that would help lead and direct the people of God. But we find here that no doubt the people of God, these children of Israel, would go just a certain amount of time, and yet they would fall into idolatry, and they would fall into the worship of false gods. They would fall into the worship of Baal and to Asherah, unto this grove, this statue that was erected. And they would fall into this idolatry and this worship. They was had a means to go along with basically anything that come along. And my friend, I want you to know and understand what God had constituted there on Mount Sinai He, the first commandment that he gave, he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said, you shall not worship any other gods except me. And he said, for I am a jealous God. And my friend, those that worship anything besides God, his anger is kindled against them. And my friend, that's exactly what had taken place as we go throughout the book of Judges. Now, the Bible says that there were judges that had came up, and periodically for a moment in time, we know that the people of God would cry out, the Bible says. And through their cries, God would answer their prayers, and he would send a judge, he would send a leader that would help them, that would show them the way, that would answer their cries. And my friend, that brings us to the point here in the sixth chapter of the book of Judges. Some time has gone by, and it continues to be a repeated effect. The children of Israel would cry out to God, and God would answer their prayer. And my friend, this morning, I believe in all of my heart, there's still people of God that's crying out today. They're still crying out, God, would you heal our land? God, would you save our lost? And my friend, we cannot stop in that pursuit. I'm so thankful today that we live in a country and in a nation that we've got the freedom that we've got to come into this house and to worship the Lord. What a privilege that it is. What an honor that it is to be able to come into the house of God and to worship Him. My friend, I hope that that settles in your heart today. We still live in a country that's founded upon the principles of God. I believe that. Now listen to me this morning. We come, no doubt, to a man by the name of Gideon. I know all of us are familiar with him. No doubt, Gideon would be a great man of God. We find, I've got several places this morning. I've got quite a bit of reading this morning, so do bear with us for just a short time. It says in the sixth chapter, and we'll be skipping around some. It says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because the Midianites and the children of Israel made them dens, which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of East, even they came against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou came into Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy. And my friend, I want you to know and understand this morning, as we said before, that the children of Israel would get themselves in a position where these eastern folks would come out, and they would pass through the land of Canaan, these Canaanites, if you will, and Midianites and different ones. They would pass through with their false idols and their false gods. And as they began to do that, it would begin to rub off, if you will, to the people. And they would begin to pick up the worship of those things. And my friend, as they began to worship those things, the Midianites, they had passed through here in the time of Gideon, and they had taken all the substance that Israel had. They had taken all their sheep. They had taken all their cattle. They had taken all the substance of everything that they could grow, all their farming things, all their wheat, everything that they had, they would pass through, as the Word of God says, as a grasshopper. For their multitude was uncountable. With their camels, they would pass through. And my friend, I want you to know and understand that we are of the world, but yet, my friend, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're just dwelling here in this place, just for a temporary time. I'm looking for a time when God's going to take me up out of this place. But my friend, as I'm here, I'm passing through, and I want to stand upon the Word of God. I'll tell you, it seems like now, if there ever was a time, it seems like God's people have sat back and they began to look and examine the things of the world, and they say, what use is it? They're taking everything from us. What use is it standing up? My friend, we've got to stand. We've got to stand. The principles and the things of God is worth standing on. They're worth dying for. There's been men and women that have served this country and have laid down their life and made the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be here today. My friend, it's worth dying for. I believe in all of my heart the founding and the setting up of this nation that God instituted. I believe that He had His hand in every aspect of it. And my friend, He wanted us to be a people that would uplift His holy name. I believe that. But as these Midianites began to pass through, they took every substance of everything they had. It says that God had raised up a prophet in those times. And he began to declare unto him, he said, do you not remember how you was in bondage in Egypt, how your father was in bondage of Egypt? He said, do you not remember how I brought you out with a mighty hand? Do you not remember the things that we had done for your forefathers? And my friend, that's a day and time that we're living in now. It says there that the generation that was with Joshua, they had died. And their children raised up. And they no longer remembered the things that God had done for them. And my friend, there's a day and time that we're living in now. Unfortunately, my friend, the children today coming up, they don't understand the things of God. And that's our responsibility to keep declaring it to them. It's our responsibility to keep trying to teach them. Keep trying to show them. Unfortunately, we live in a day and time and we say, well, what use is it? My friend, we're raising up Daniels. And we're raising up Davids. And we're raising up little Ruths. And my friend, if there ever was a time, we've got to stand together and declare unto the world God's truth. It's worth it. The things of my forefathers that I looked down for them and that they were willing to die for. And I'm not just talking about men and women that served this country. I'm talking about your grandparents. I'm talking about their great-grandparents. I'm talking about the generations that come before us. My friend, this right here meant something to them. It meant something to them. It meant something to them. It was worth standing on. Listen to me this morning. I didn't mean to get off on all this. Get your children to Sunday school. Get them there. Teach them about the Word of God. Teach them about something that's going to endure. Teach them about something when the hardships of this life come, they've got something to stand on. Teach them. Raise them up. My friend, things are only going to get more difficult as time goes on. But that doesn't give us the opportunity to back up. We've got to continue moving on forward. It may seem like the substance of this world is dwindling down, but my friend, I want to declare unto you there is a hope. There is a hope, and His name is Jesus. This prophet the Lord had raised up, He declared unto them these things. He said, do you not remember how we brought you out of Egypt? Now here I want to get into just a little bit of the aspect of Gideon. It says in the Lord in the 11th verse of the 6th chapter of Judges. And it says, there came an angel of the Lord and sat underneath an oak, which is an Ophrah. And that pertained unto Joash the Bezerite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress and hid it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is all this befallen us? And my friend, if there ever was a time, as I look over there, you can look in Habakkuk and read about it, he almost has the same outlook. Why has all this come upon us? Why has all this befallen us? No doubt Gideon began to search in his heart. He said, if God be with us, why has all this come down upon us? Why are we having to go through all of this? Why are we having to suffer through these things? And my friend, it says there that Gideon had found himself a threshing wheat in a wine press. And my friend, if you know very much about threshing wheat in those days, it wasn't something that you would do in a hole in the ground. But my friend, it was something that you would do out in the open as you began to take that stalk of wheat and you began to whip it upon the ground that, my friend, the wheat would disperse and the chaff would blow away. And my friend, most likely those wheat wine presses would be a stone that would be hewn out of the ground. And they would go in there and begin to press those grapes that it might produce wine. But my friend, as I told you before, there was no substance in the land. No doubt as these Midianites had come through, they had taken all the grapes, they had taken everything that they needed, they left them with nothing. And here was Gideon. He found himself down in this hole, in this wine press, and he began to thresh this wheat. And my friend, I want you to know and understand today, there's too many of us that's got our heads buried in the sand. There's too many of us that's got our heads buried. I began to think about this week. I made a statement here a while back. I've not watched the news for several years. It got so depressing, I just began not to even watch it anymore. It just hurt my heart every time I turn it on. But my friend, I want you to know that we can't allow ourselves to bury our heads in the sand. That doesn't excuse me from not knowing what's going on in the world. We need to be made aware of the things that's going on. And it's time for us to stand up. We can't continue to keep hiding our face in the sand and keeping our things hidden from the world. Listen, it's time to arise. No doubt he was fearful of the men that might come by and take what little substance he had. But my friend, today we've got to stand with what little substance God has given us and we've got to declare it to the world. We can't continue to hide. But we've got to stand for God. It's so easy to look at the things of the world and become discouraged. What's it going to be like for my children? What's it going to be like for my boys? I don't know the ways of the world and how it's going to be. But honey, I want to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ if He'll allow me to. I want to instill in my children the Word of God because Daddy and Mama's not always going to be around. And when the things of this world get hard, I don't want them to come to me, but I want them to go to God. I want them to go to the one that is the author and finisher of their faith. The Lord declared unto Gideon here, he said this, and he said, where be all his miracles? He said, where is the miracle? Listen, the world today says, why has all this befallen us? Why are we going through all of these things? Why are we having to focus on abortion and homosexuality and children not being able to figure out what gender they are? Listen to me. When I was a boy and growing up in school, I played football. When we'd go into the field house to clean ourselves up afterwards, you didn't have to worry about nothing when you went in there. You didn't even think about that. I didn't even know what homosexuality was. You can say, well, preacher, you're just backwoods and ignorant, didn't know nothing. Maybe I am. But I'm telling you, I didn't even know what it was.
was no such thing as transgender. I didn't even know what abortion was. I thought, how in the world can we live in a country where people think it's okay to kill babies? You ask me where I stand on the topic today. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand. It's wrong. The Lord said in His commandments, He said, thou shalt not kill. You want me to clarify for it to you, honey? That's what God said. The Lord told Jeremiah over there, He said, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. It shouldn't be a topic of discussion among God's people. It ain't right. I want to read to you over here what this article of faith says. 16 article of faith, according to civil government. Says, we believe, this is what our church has adopted, we believe that civil government is by divine appointment for the good order of human society, that we should obey the laws except when they are contrary to the Word of God. I will not. One of the greatest blessings of my life. My children. The Bible says that they are a heritage unto the Lord. He loves the little children. My friend, it's time as God's people for us to take a stand. It's time. Now, how do we declare a stand? I'm not saying be arrogant about it. I'm not saying go around and try to whoop up on people. Listen, I told Brother Mike Wade, I said, use all over my subject this morning. Boy, I'm glad when the Lord works it out that way, brother. We don't render evil for evil. The Bible says in Romans, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. How do we stand upon the things of God? This right here. This. The infallible Word of God. It is all truth. I better move on. He said, where was God? He said, where was His miracles? He said, the Lord told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now I want you to know an angel of the Lord had come unto him and had told him that he was to make a sacrifice unto the Lord with a goat and unleavened bread, and he did. He presented those things to God. And as he done that, the angel of the Lord told him that he was to tear down this altar of Baal. He said, you tear it down. And he said, you tear down the grove that's by it. And my friend, I'm telling you today, we as God's people have got to get the things of the world out from about us. Those things, those idols that we're placing in our way, get them out of the way. It doesn't matter if it's your children. It doesn't matter if it's your job. It doesn't matter what it is. Get it out of the way. And put God first and foremost in your life. It's a struggle. But my friend, just as Brother Mike said, it's not always going to be easy. God didn't promise that. But what He did say is I'll go with you all the way. He said, I'll be there and I'll help you through it.
And as he began to tear those altars down, the men of the city come to him and said, "Who's done these things?" He come to his father Joash, and he said, "Who's done these things?" For he took some men with him, 10 servants, the Bible says. And he went by night. Now, I don't know if he done that. It says that he was afraid and fearful. My friend, making a stand for God is not always going to be easy. You might be afraid to do that. You realize that you may even have to stand in opposition to your own family? You might. You might have to stand in opposition to your school, to your workplace, to your own children. But my friend, is it not worth standing on? You look at the shape and the way things have gotten. My friend, it's because we've laid down too long. Now, that's just my opinion. You say, "Well, preacher, we're just a small church. We're just a small group of people." I'm fixing to show you what 300 men. The Bible says that he said, Joash told the men of the city, he said, basically, he said, "You let Baal contend for Baal." He said, "If he's really a god," he said, "you let him take care of him." As Gideon began to progress and move forward, there were 32,000 Israelites. 32,000 of them is what they started out with. The Lord said, "That's too many. That's too many." He said, "For those men that are afraid and fearful," he said, "let them go back to their homes." He reduced them down to 10,000. As he stood there and had 10,000 men, God said, "Out of fear for Israel, that they'll say that they saved themselves, it's still too many." Now keep in mind, there was 135,000 Midianites. 135,000. God said, "That's still too many." Let's go over here to the 7th chapter. I'm trying not to worry you patience, but I want to get this right. The 7th chapter in the 5th verse. He says, "So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, every one that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall he set by himself, and likewise every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, were 300 men. And all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that lappeth, I will save you, and deliver the Midianites in thine hand, and let all the other people go to every man unto his own place." God had reduced the army of Israel from 32,000 down to 300. Opposing these people who had come by, and not just too awful much before this, the people of Israel had been hiding out in caves and strongholds. They were fearful. But as those that began to bow down, he said, "Let those that bow down, let them leave. Let them return home. But those that reacheth down and lappeth up water like a dog," he said, "I can use those." My friend, if we keep our heads down, we may be saved by God's grace. There may be a peace that's dwelling in our hearts. But my friend, if we keep our eyes and our heads down, we can't be used by God. We're just wandering around aimlessly. But these men that lapped this water like a dog, they were prepared. And they were watchful. They were ready for what was coming their way. And my friend, I want to stand here today and encourage you, be ready for what might be coming your way. Be ready. You say, "Who am I? What can I do?" My friend, God took 300 men and he overcome a mighty army. So much so that Gideon said, when the time comes for us to attack, I'm trying to wrap it up, bear with me. He said, when the time comes to attack, he says this. He said, and so it was when Gideon had heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, he worshipped and turned to the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered you into the hand of Midian. And he said this. And he said, and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with the empty pitchers and the lamp within the pitchers. He declared unto them, arise. Arise. I want to say this. This is what Isaiah says in the 60th chapter. He says, arise and shine. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness of the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. My friend, today, if you've been saved by the grace of God, there's a light that's been planted in your heart. There's something down in there. And if you've been saved by the glory of God, arise and let it out. Let it shine. He told them, men, he said, you're going to take a trumpet in one hand and a pitcher in another. And when the time comes, he said, you take that pitcher and you break it. And he said, you tell them the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. He said, you tell them that we're coming. And my friend, on my own, I can do nothing. But with this sword, we can do all things. This sword. I'm not meant to fight with my fist. I never was much of a fighter. But my friend, this right here does our fighting for us. This does our fighting. You ask me what the world is afraid of, they're afraid of this. Because they don't understand it. They can't comprehend it. It says it's foolishness to them. But my friend, this right here is what they're afraid of. That word Gideon in the Hebrew means to hew or to fail. You ask me what a hewn them down. This right here. This right here is what does the cut. This right here is what will do the divide. Jesus says this. He said, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. The Lord said, vengeance is mine. You let God take everything else. And we need to arise. God has planted something in here, and I'm telling you, it's something special. It's something, my friend, that throughout all the walks of this life, throughout everything that I've ever been through, throughout everything that I've ever accomplished, it is the greatest thing that I've ever experienced, is the salvation of my soul. It's what I'm counting on to take me home after a while. It's the promise that God, that he has instilled in here. But I'll tell you this, I don't think God intended for me to throw a cloak over it. I don't think he intended for me to keep it covered up. But he wants us to take this vessel, this, what he's given us to dwell in, and to open it up and let the light shine out. If there ever was a time for us to arise, church, it's now. It's now. I believe in all of my heart, this country and this nation that we're living in is the greatest country in the world. You know, we lived in day and time, people don't say that anymore. I believe it is. What makes it so great is the freedom and the liberties that we have. But I'm going to say this. If we keep our head buried in the sand because we're too afraid to stand and let the gift of God that he's placed in our heart, my friend, I am fearful for the future. But I'm going to tell you what I love so much about. Never have I ever been in any kind of battle in my life but this battle that I'm in now. You better believe we're in a battle. I know the outcome. You say, how can you know that? Because, my friend, the victory is through Jesus Christ. I know the outcome. And I know that I'm a winner either way. It's time to arise. You say, preacher, are you encouraging us to get out and vote and do all this and that? Listen, I told you this ain't no political platform, but I'm going to tell you this. If you want to stand upon the true principles of God, and you want to protect what it is that we've got, and you want to tear down all these things that are false and contrary to the Word of God, then you better arise and do something about it. You better arise and do something. Arise, church. Let it shine. That's our message, Brother Strong. Go ahead, get us a song.